We'll see if this is still recording. If it is.
Yep. Okay. I'm John, a compulsive overeater. First of all, for the newcomers, we are delighted that you are here. It can be a real big step to come into these rooms, having been in this program for a few years now. It's been my observation that I've not seen anybody to this point that has come into these rooms because they said, it's really kind of a nice Wednesday night. I think it sounds like fun to go to an OA meeting. Pain is the price of admission to these rooms. And I think that's the reason that we got here, and there's good things here. I'm glad you're here. The tough act to follow with these two leads, Lisa, I don't know that I was at your first meeting, but I do know that I was at one of your early meetings, certainly, and it has, the big book of AA, which I believe is really the textbook of recovery in this program, talks about that if we stay with this program, we will see a fellowship grow up around us, and we will see people recover and have their lives restored to them. And it is just delightful to see the recovery that has happened in you for the last couple of years. Tom, I would just caution you about reconnecting with old friends of 30 years, or in my case, 40 years, because it's a slippery slope, and you just never know what's gonna happen as a result of those things. So, my story is not unique in OA, but it is not probably the story that most of you have, because I think, again, my observation from being in these rooms for a few years is that most of you were a lot better dieters than I was. I never was able to diet and lose weight. And I had this disease from a very early age, and not being able to diet and lose weight, I never reached a point where my weight was just, steady. From a very early age, I was overweight and became more overweight, as I grew up, and certainly became morbidly obese by the time, this program found me 40 years ago. I don't believe that I would be alive today had this program not found me 40 some years ago. It wasn't because I wanted to be morbidly obese. I desperately didn't want to weigh what I weighed. I tried a number of different diets. I tried the same diet a lot of times, and just never had any success. The longest that I was ever able to stay on a diet was maybe 2 weeks, and the last week of that was pretty iffy. But I desperately wanted to be thin. I desperately wanted those diets, to work. But they just never did. As a kid, my parents were as powerless over my disease as I was, and they would do whatever they could to try and help me. And so, one of the things that they would, do would be, all else failing, that they try and bribe me. And so as a kid, I wanted a go-kart, the worst, way. And so, okay, well, if you lose the weight, we'll buy you a go-kart. Later I wanted a motorcycle. Okay, well, if you lose the weight, we'll buy you a motorcycle. I wanted to be a good football player. I wanted girls. I couldn't want any of those things more than I wanted them. Dieting for me was never fun. I never got excited because, look at the new Red Book. That sounds like a fun diet, dieting for me was hell or torture, but because I'd had these motivations, whether it was a chance to get a go-kart or a motorcycle or a girlfriend or be a football, good football player, I would subject myself to that hell, and a few hours or days later, I was back eating because I took the first bite. it wasn't because I didn't want those things anymore. I still wanted those as much as I could want anything. Why was I the only person that could not do this? And when I came into OA in my early to mid-20s, 40 years ago, I really felt that, you know, it was just me. Maybe there were four or five other people in the country, but other than that, it was just me. And, you know, what I discovered in a church basement in a small town in Virginia, that there were a church basement full of women that had the same problem that I had. Now, I was twice as big as any of them in the room, but I believed that we had the same problem, and it just felt like, oh my God, I'm not alone. It was such, you know, like coming in from the cold. It was just, you know, a wonderful experience. The other thing at that first meeting that I heard, and it was so antithetical to anything that I had operated on up to that point, because I was going to go on that diet Monday. Number one, nothing ever upset me or motivated me enough to say, well, I'm just going to stop eating right now. You know, it was always, I'm going to stop eating Monday. You know, and, you know, when Monday came, well, a couple more hours or one more day of eating would really, Tuesday I could really do a good job. You know, but when I went on that diet, you know, I could project out and, okay, this many months or whatever, I'd be off that diet. And so my only thought when I was on that diet is I can't wait till I'm done with this because I'm going to have this, 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 and this, and this, you know. But what those people told me at that first meeting was that this was a disease that I would never be cured of. It could be arrested one day at a time, but I would never be cured of. And that was so foreign a concept to me that it just made sense. You know, and it gave me hope. Now, that was a new meeting, and nobody there had any experience with 12-step recovery. And so, you know, we read about the program, but none of us really knew how to practice it, you know. And so as a result, the big book talks about half measures availed us nothing, and that's really, you know, kind of what was happening and what the results were, but we kept meeting. Well, the Washington, D.C. intergroup was putting on a weekend retreat, and three of those people at that meeting decided to go, and they decided John needed to go, too. And to this day, I really don't know whether those people were going and they just, you know, wanted a fourth for the car. I really half suspect that they said, you know, we should probably go, but John really needs to go, and if we go, you know, maybe get him. And I really did not want to. I mean, I was extremely resistant. It cost $30. I didn't have $30. You know, and, you know, I really did not want to go, but they were just insistent, you know. And so finally, very reluctantly, I went. And that saved my life. I can remember driving up to that camp in the boondocks of West Virginia. There was a short guy walking with this attractive blonde across the, you know, the lawn, and I was just really pissed, you know, because there were only supposed to be compulsive overeaters here, you know, and somebody brought their husband. How the hell could they do that? You know, just really irritated. But I, you know, got over that, had just a, you know, wonderful Friday night, and you know, they had workshops starting on Saturday, and the first one was on the, you know, the first one I chose to go to was on the first three steps, and decided, well, that sounds like an appropriate place to start, so I'll do that one. And lo and behold, it was being led by the short, skinny guy who had always been short, had not always been skinny, and had been walking across the lawn with the attractive blonde the day before. And he shared his story. And I understood that we had the same, you know, disease. And I had already understood from other conversations to that point of, you know, people that had the same disease that I had, but something had changed in them. I saw recovery that weekend. You know, I heard and found people that were doing the deal, that their life was changed, and that they were arresting that disease. And, you know, I had accepted step one on one level, the first meeting. You know, I wasn't going to dispute that. Again, I was twice as big as anybody else in that room because I was 485 pounds when I came into OA. You know, but I, at that workshop, I just accepted it on a gut level. Oh, yeah, I really am compulsive over, powerless over food. I never, ever have had the ability to control my eating, and I don't believe I ever will. And I just accepted that at a gut level. And because I saw recovery by that, I took step two, and how I took step two that morning was that I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore even me to sanity, that I wasn't hopeless. And I just surrendered, and I said, God, you know, I think you might be able to do this. I know I can't. And I just give this over to you. And it wasn't kind of a defiant challenge. It was just really, God, I give this over to you and we'll see. You know, if you can't do it or you choose not to, it's just not going to be done because I know I can't. And I just surrendered. And something very powerful happened. I didn't have the feeling, oh, this is removed. You know, I can do this for the rest of my life. I didn't have the confidence that I could do this for as long as it was going to take me to lose, a lot of weight. I didn't have the confidence I could do this for the next year. I wasn't really sure about the rest of the weekend. But what I did have for the first time in my life was a sense that I didn't have to take the first compulsive bite today. And that was a miraculous event. I started going to meetings where those people with recovery were. I heard what they were doing. I saw what they were doing. I listened to what they were doing. And, you know, I didn't take the first bite, and I got into recovery. You know, I practiced those 12 steps. They became a way of life for me. I had a spiritual awakening as a result of those 12 steps. When I came in, nothing in my life really, I was a little overweight, but other than that, nothing in my life needed to change. You know, I was very happy with, I could have used a little bit more money, maybe a newer car, but nothing needed to change other than the fact that I was that little overweight. And I can recall, probably 6 months into recovery, driving to a meeting, and I pretty much, after I met those people, I pretty much went to a meeting a night. It was like a man dying of thirst getting water. I just couldn't get enough of what that was, and I pretty much just went to a meeting, a day, and I was driving to one of those meetings, and I said, holy crap, everything in my life has changed, other than the fact that I have the same job, I'm living in the same apartment, and driving the same car. Everything else in my life has changed. I had already lost a significant amount of weight, but I had a whole different set of beliefs and outlooks and a way of life. And it was just, to my absolute surprise, what happened? How did this happen? It happened because I just, one day at a time, did the program of recovery. I lost 300 pounds, maintained a 300-pound weight loss for, a number of years. Relapse is a part of my story. One of the things that I did right in this program is I never left. I knew from day one that the answer was here. And I knew, one of the other gifts of that first meeting that was that I would be in these rooms for the rest of my life. I accepted that. I believed that from day one. And even in relapse, I believed the answer was here. It wasn't the program that had failed. It was John, not doing what John needed to do to maintain recovery. But even in relapse, even in the mistakes I made, the dishonesty, the willfulness, taking my will back or whatever, I believed that the answers were here. And I believed that if I put myself in those rooms, that I would hear what I needed to hear when I needed to hear that. And that's been, my experience through several relapses. I came into program in Northern Virginia. You know, I moved to Baltimore, spent 3.5 years there, met some, you know, marvelous, you know, friends and you know, enjoyed recovery there, and then had, you know, I had to grow up in this program. So I you know, came in, you know, a 20-something-year-old, 12-year-old. You know, I had to learn how to be an adult in this program. I had to, you know, to do all the things that a young teenager did, except I did it like 10 years later. I had to learn how to date, how to have relationships, how to be friends. You know, I met my wife in Baltimore and you know, got married and had a family, really as a result of this program, that I was able to be, you know, an adult and have, you know, a healthy relationship. I was able to be a, you know, healthy, relatively healthy, you know, stepdad. You know, I have to ask my kids about that, I guess. But, you know, and I was able to be, you know, a loving, you know, partner until, you know, my wife had passed away from, you know, cancer a few years back. But, you know, we had 34 years of really a good life because of this, you know, the recovery in this program. You know, I had, you know, my last, I hope, you know, relapse, I came out of, you know, about 4.5 years ago, and, you know, I was living in Montana at the time, and it just wasn't a real good, strong program, you know, where I was. This program gives me the ability to be anywhere I need to be in recovery. So it's not their fault. You know, it's my, you know, it was my deal that I was struggling, you know, with relapse or whatever. But, you know, I didn't have, what I'd had in other areas, which was just a lot of recovery, you know, around me. You know, I really very reluctantly had to accept some outside help too, which was just, you know, a program, you know, with some counseling, and, you know, had my arm twisted again by my wife, who got me to, you know, to go there. And really I found somebody that functioned as my sponsor. You know, that I was able to be honest with again, which for me was what I needed to be. You know, I needed to say, you know, I'm eating. You know, I'm really back into eating, and told her my story and told her my, you know, history or whatever. And for the next, you know, almost a year or whatever, she really functioned as my sponsor, because I didn't have a sponsor available, you know, to me at that point. And from the first time that I sat down with her and got honest with her, I got back into recovery and, you know, was able to have almost a year of recovery when my wife was diagnosed with, you know, cancer. And I am so grateful that I was able to walk through those next 6 months with her and be present for her. You know, what a horrible tragedy it would have been in my mind if I, you know, had been in the food while she was going through her treatment and illness, you know, because I would have physically been with her, but mentally I would have been saying, okay, how can I get away? How can I leave this room, you know, go down to the vending machines? And I didn't have to do that. You know, I could be present with her. You know, I could feel the pain. I could just be with her, and I could go through a healthy grieving process, you know, after that. You know, I am, you know, it's a time that, you know, we as, you know, in this country really, you know, have a chance to reflect on gratitude. You know, and I just, you know, am so grateful for this program. Again, I can't imagine that I would be alive today had this program not found me, you know, 40 years ago. You know, I was not living a life conducive to old age. I wasn't 485 pounds and holding steady. It was 485 pounds and gaining, you know, so I am alive today as a result of this program. You know, I've had 40 years of a wonderful, you know, life. You know, it's not been Disney World, you know, but it's been life. You know, I've been able to go through the highs and lows and experience life that I think if I'd been in the food, I simply would not have had the ability to do. You know, I've had, after 40 years in these rooms, as dramatic of recovery as I've had, it gets to be commonplace. After a while, it's too easy to feel, that it's just the routine. But what really, and so I can't always see, I don't always feel that, oh my God, I was abstinent again today. I'm going to bed abstinent. What a miracle. Because it's no less a miracle today than it was 40 years ago. It is an absolute miracle that I didn't eat compulsively today. But in spite of that miracle, it's a routine miracle. And so I can find it easy to kind of take that for granted. But where I feel it again are really people like Lisa. That you see people come in, you hear, again, nobody gets in these rooms because it's just a wonderful day. They get in here because of pain, and you hear that pain, you see the pain, and you see the miracle happen in those people, and you say, wow, that is amazing. And, oh yeah, that happened to me. I remember that. This is, we have, we are so blessed in this program, in my feeling, to have those experiences, to be given a life again, to see people around us recover, to share our stories with people. As a speaker at the convention recently talked about that, this is really a program of love, and that is so true. People in this program from day one in my meeting in Virginia, from that retreat at Buffalo Gap, people loved me long before I loved myself, and certainly long before I was able to love them. And that this program remains a program of love. People love me through no credit or fault or whatever of my own. They just love me because I'm one of them. We share this disease, and most importantly, we share this recovery. And so just delighted that all of you are here. I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, and just very grateful. Thank you.